Okay. Communion, Good Friday, and on Sunday the sermon is Communion, Easter. Okay, we're going to be talking about the communion. Open your Bibles in Luke chapter 22, verse 15 to 20. Leo, thank you for the songs. Yeah. Good. Great, Leo. Luke 22, verse 15 to 20. And we can pray. Lord, give us grace to dive into this mystery that it's the cross, the resurrection, and communion, Lord. In Jesus' name, give me grace to explain, to share this, the meaning of the sacraments, the meaning of communion, and the message of the cross. Preaching that message, loving this message, living for this message, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us read from verse 15 to verse 20. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out to you. Communion in a Good Friday. Just as you can bring the first point, we're going to go for the meaning of the communion straightforward. But it's nice because in the morning I was having my good breakfast with my mom, because we never have this opportunity, only the weekends, because I wake up too early because I'm a hard working good boy. So I wake up before her. But we were together and she asked me, what are you going to talk about? And I said, about communion. And she says, you're not going to talk about the cross? And I said, but the two are walking together. But the two are like this. And sometimes we forget communion, we put to one side, the cross to the other. And so today we're going to see these both together, Good Friday. Communion. Communion is talking about the cross. The cross is talking about communion. First thing we need to understand on that note is the meaning of communion. And if you pay attention to verse 15, Jesus says, this Passover I eagerly desire to eat with you. He has eaten so many. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Passovers in the history of the Jewish people. But this one is special. Why? Because this one is the last Passover, and this one is the first communion. Same elements, the bread and the wine. One address, the cross. The old feast of the Passover that started in the Exodus, now it's accomplished in Jesus Christ on the cross. And the new and true Exodus of God's people, it starts on the cross, on the table of communion. Does that make sense? Here it's Rosland and Brock intersection. The cross is the intersection of the Old Testament with the New. Now I think I have one. Exodus 24 verse 6. It's going to be very clear to us. Before we read, This was the day that God begins the new, the Old Testament, the old covenant, the old alliance. Do this, the finger of the ringer, the old alliance with his people. And let us read what happens. Exodus chapter 24, verse 6 to 11. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he splashed against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey." Moses then took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of lapis lazuli, as bright blue as the sky. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God and they... Am I on? Yes, I'm on. I'm so sorry. I'll keep this in my hand. Where did I... My sound went off. Just now? After that. Okay. So, eating and drinking means... Not means, but it's for us to understand. It's equal to us when we sign things and we make it official. Is that clear? Okay, so the cross, blood, communion. Old Testament, the blood of the animal, and they ate and they drank before the presence of God. This is the meaning of communion. In the Old Testament, God made a covenant with the people, and the people promised they would keep the law. Did they ever keep the law? No or no? Never. Never. But there was one Jewish man under the law who sworn that same oath, "I will keep the law." And he kept. What's his name? Jesus Christ. Therefore, all the promises of that God makes applies to him. And therefore, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. When he goes to the cross, he is the one who can eat this Passover and change the meaning of Passover. And upgrade the meaning of Passover. And turning Passover to communion and turning Passover to what we call Eastern. Because he is the one who gets all the promises of the Old Testament in his life, and he gives it to his people in the New Testament. That's how Jesus do it. That's the meaning of communion. And then Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, it says this, "And they sang a new song saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.'" Some people believe that the cross makes salvation possible. We, Reformed people, we believe that the cross makes salvation effective. God saves us, purchases us. We have assurance of salvation. We are not afraid that we might end up in hell. We are not afraid that we are saved one day and the other day we are not saved. We have assurance of salvation because Jesus, on the cross, he doesn't make salvation possible. He purchases us. So the cross is that address. where the Passover becomes communion. And Jesus is the one who can do that because he is that Jewish man who has promised that oath, who has kept that oath, and who is blessed with the promises. And now comes to the tricky aspect of communion that makes us debate. Second point is the element of communion. What are the elements of communion? The bread and the wine. Okay? And can you believe we in the church, we keep fighting about that? Raise your hand if you know. It's a symbol. It's literal. And we keep fighting. But you know I'm a peacemaker. I just look like a fighter, but I'm a peacemaker. So we're not going to fight. Okay? I promise you, Leo, we are not going to fight. But if we fight, you come to my aid. Okay? Thank you. So, to understand this, let us read verse 19, because I think here is the heart that we can misunderstand things. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Because these are the two great misunderstandings. This is my body. Some people take it very literal. So now when you eat the bread, you're not eating the bread, you're eating bones, you're eating flesh, you're eating ligaments. Because Jesus said, this is my body. And that's why I use a key word there, communicate. Instead of maybe understand this is my body and you take it literal, you understand that this communicates my body. Okay? And the other one is the word remembrance. And some people take it just, and I'll say this again, just, and I'll say this a third time, just as a symbol. Who is married? You have a ring on your finger. That's a symbol of your marriage. Is that correct? When you take it off, are you still married? Yes. When you go to Brazil for a nice trip and the robbers go there and see gold in your ring and they thief you, you're still married. You lost the money, but you're still married. Don't say, oh, now I don't love you anymore because my ring is gone. No. That's a symbol. It's just a memory. And some people take the word remembrance and they apply, oh, it's just a symbol. There was a day I was listening to a preaching, a sermon from home, and the people in the gathering were having communion, and the person who was leading, he said, you at home, please join us in communion. And I said, great. And he says, and if you don't have bread, get a cookie, because it's just a symbol. It really doesn't mean much. And I'm like, okay, not good. So these two extremes we are avoiding. So what is the meaning of the elements of communion? How do we understand it according to the Heidelberg Catechism? This is for all the Reformed Church. We understand it as a sacrament, as a means of grace. What is a means of grace? It is not that the element in itself, it's literal, because it's not. And it's not just a vague symbol. It's something that we're going to have a mutual sharing of a spiritual blessing when we take it. Can I have the next quotation? It's going to make it very clear. Pay attention to this. Communion is not food for the stomach. Communion is food for what? For the spirit. Illustration. Where I work, we work with homeless and needy people. And we serve bread and we serve... No, we don't serve wine. We serve coffee. So, we serve bread and we serve coffee. And there are two kinds of workers. The ones who are true Christians, nice people. And guess where do I fall? I fall in that one. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. And there are the other workers. Go there only for the paycheck. Pay attention to this. The paychecker ones, they give bread and coffee and say bye. Goodbye. Come back tomorrow. All they're providing food for the stomach. But the good ones, the Christian ones, the ones who are there for the mission, they give the bread and they give the coffee, but what they truly want to give, it's what? A word. Jesus Christ. The bread of life. The living water. The bread and the coffee is just a means to where grace, true grace, is going to be shared. And this is done through words. This is done spiritually. This is done in the manner that person is serving the community. And that is received by the homeless, needy person by the manner he receives the words. Either they shut their ears and say, I'm not here for Jesus, I'm here for the bread. Or either they open their ears and say, oh, I thought I was coming for the bread, but I actually got Jesus. Do you follow me? Uncle Crying said I should never ask this question because nobody's going to say I don't follow you. But I still ask. Is that very clear, the illustration? That's why communion we understand as a means of grace. That's why when I take the bread and we take the cup, I say, this is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ. Because it's in the words, it's in the invitation, it is in the way, the manner that we take in that spiritual sense, with that approach, that we understand that this is the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, because Christ is being communicated there. Is that clear? Right? And that's so clear, that when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they talk about the people who approach this table just like the preacher who says this is just a cookie. They approach the table in an unworthy manner. And when they take communion, they take judgment, / sickness, / even to the point of death. Why? Because communion is a means of grace. There is something very spiritual happening when we partake communion. Why? Because communion is it's together with the cross. If Jesus partakes to us in the cross, forgiveness, life, and salvation, communion also wants to partake with us. It's a means of grace. That's the meaning of the elements. And we should not focus on the body or on the blood, because what Jesus is trying to say is not my body parts. It is my life. Blood, if you lose blood, that's it. If you die, and now your soul, the spirit, comes back to God, the one who gave it, you die. This is my body, this is my blood, this is my life, that on the cross, I'm dying to give it for you. And you want to know the good news? He can only give his life to you. There is only means of grace, sharing of life, because we serve a living God. If Jesus was dead, he could never give us life. Communion would never be celebrated. Communion would be only a vague remembrance, only a vague symbol. But because he's alive, because of the cross, and because these two are together, we understand that communion is a means of grace, Because Jesus can give us life. And that brings us to our third point. The fulfillment of communion. We saw the address where communion starts. It is in the cross. We saw its background, which is the Passover, the Old Covenant. We saw the elements, and the elements talks about Jesus' life and that he truly can share his life with us. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you can be assured his life, his spirit dwells in you. But now the fulfillment of the communion, I want you to pay attention for verse 18, and we're going to have two more verses there. Verse 18 says, "For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." What is he saying here is this. Communion is pointing to my death, but communion also points to my resurrection. The fulfillment of communion, this is very important to understand in the practical sense, is that God's law, it's not on the paper only. God's law, the Bible, can be on your cell phone. Who has a Bible app? I do, yes. Bible, the law, can be on an advertisement when you drive on the road. But all of this is Old Testament. Where is God's law now in communion in the New Testament after the cross? In my heart. The word of God dwell in my heart. The circumcision, it is not done in the flesh anymore. In the eighth day when you were born, circumcision now it's done where? In the heart. The baptism, it's not only the purification with water. Every time you come to the service, the baptism now it's done where? In the heart. The temple, the building, the Mount Zion, it's not God's dwelling anymore. Where is God's dwelling? In my heart. That's what Jesus is saying. Truly I tell you, I will eat it again. Truly I tell you, communion, my sacrifice, does not speak only about something that happens in the past. My sacrifice speaks about something that happens every day when you believe in me, and that it's telling you, I am coming back again. I am reason. I give you a new life, a new covenant. There is a new way you have a relationship with God. What else is the fulfillment of communion? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, it's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 26. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And on the same note, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 7, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." And now the question is, what is the fulfillment of communion? What is the heart of communion? I don't know about you, but I am only 29 years old, but I have never heard a sermon strictly only about communion. And so sometimes we take the elements, sometimes we grasp, we understand what it's all about, but sometimes we don't see it as a whole. And if I could tell you what is the fulfillment of the communion, it's this: from the old to the new, God's dwelling not in the temple but in you. But I could and I would like to illustrate it just like as a parents with the kids. And the parents come to the kid and they give them house, schooling, and play soccer. And if you want to go to a camp, I'm paying. And I give you food, and I give you clothes, and I give you college, and I give you everything. But what does the kid need the most? The parent itself. The kid would be okay without college, without this, without that, if they have the parent, if they have the attention, if they have a relationship with the parent. What is communion? This is my blood. This is my body. When we come to Jesus, he's not sharing with us a blessing, an end life salvation. That unfortunately is some way that some people see Jesus. I come to church because he blesses me. I come to church because I don't want to go to hell. And sometimes we preach Jesus like this. We forget about the cross. And when we talk about come and it's blessing and it's victory and emotional speaking and blah, blah, blah. But what is the fulfillment of communion? That Jesus Christ on the cross, on the table, he's giving us not a blessing. He's giving us himself. What is the best I can give you? Myself. As a pastor, what is the best I can give you? Not a sermon. Myself. As a parent, what you can give to your kid? Not something. Yourself. As brothers and sisters in Christ, what do we need from each other? One another. I am giving myself to you. That's the fulfillment of communion. When we understand and take communion, take the cross and take the resurrection, that Jesus Christ, he's giving us himself to us. Amen. And with that in mind, I conclude the sermon. And I know we have a whole liturgy, but today we don't need liturgy for communion. I want you to approach this table now and this Good Friday illustration. I want you to picture that Jesus is in front of you and that you are in the table with him. And that we are not cannibalists. Amen. Okay? And that Jesus is on a conversation with you. And he says, I want to dwell in you. I want your heart. I'm knocking on the door of your heart. And the best way we can understand this, it is to having this meal. And then he says, this is my body. And the moment you eat it, it's in you. Because that's the place where I want to be. I'm giving myself to you. You and I are one. You and I, we are in a relationship. You and I, we are a team. I'm not against you. I'm not a partner. We are together. Eat this. This is my body. And on the same way, in that same table that I tried to picture in your heart, he's now giving the blood. And he says, this is my blood, which means this is my life. And the moment you drink, it's going to be inside you. Because that's the place I want to be. That's where my address is. My address was never the temple. My address was never the garden. My address was always your heart. Drink this. This is my blood. This is my life. I'm not giving you just a blessing. I'm not giving you just the elements of communion. I'm not giving you just a liturgy. I'm giving you myself. Eat and drink and celebrate and remember him. The one who died for you and for me. Amen.